This is Autoline Daily, the show dedicated to enthusiasts of the global automotive industry. Not all automakers in the U.S. report sales on a monthly basis anymore. But for the ones who do, April was a rip-roaring month. Toyota was up 10%, Lexus up 23%, Honda was up 18%, Acura up 33%, Ford was up 15%, Lincoln up a whopping 40%. Subaru was only up 0.3%, but that's 33 consecutive months of sales going up. No doubt if other automakers were reporting, they'd say that customers were rushing into their showrooms too. But we all know what's going on here, right? Everybody knows that tariffs are going to raise prices, and they're in a mad scramble to buy a new car before that happens. This could probably go on for another month or so. But once dealers burn through their pre-tariff inventory that's sitting on their lots, car sales are going to take a nosedive. You watch, around July or so, this industry is going to be in a heap of hurt. Let's bore into Ford sales numbers for a moment, especially for the vehicles it makes in Mexico. Sales of the Maverick pickup truck shot up 67%. The Bronco Sport was up nearly 55%, but the Mach-E fell 40%. Clearly, the people shopping for the Maverick and Bronco Sport were aware that they were about to get hit with 25% tariffs and ran out to get one before the price went up. But the Mach-E situation is kind of curious. Maybe it was just a bad month for EVs at Ford because the F-150 Electric Lightning, which is made in the U.S., was down 16%. Okay, now over to Europe for a moment, where, as we reported yesterday, automakers sold nearly 413,000 BEVs, which was up almost 24% from a year ago. Sounds pretty good, right? Well, not really, because that only puts BEV market share in Europe at 15.2%. That's lower than it used to be. And the ACEA, the group that represents car makers in Europe, says that's nowhere good enough to meet its own CO2 targets. The EU needs BEVs to hit 22% market share this year. Meanwhile, Chinese automakers are putting the muscles behind selling more PHEVs in Europe because plug-in hybrids are not hit with extra tariffs like BEVs are. According to a data company called Rowmotion, BYD sold 3,269 plug-ins in March, which was up from nearly nothing in July 2024, which is when the tariffs were first introduced. BYD pays a 27% tariff on BEVs, but only 10% on PHEVs. Also, Chery sold 757 PHEVs in March, and while that's a small number, it's more than double the number of BEVs that it sold. And here's an interesting tidbit that was brought to our attention by our viewer Tim Jackson, who used to be the head of the Colorado Automobile Dealers Association. EV sales in Colorado and California continued to grow by double digits. They were up 20% in Colorado for the first quarter. And here's the real kicker. That growth is coming from franchise dealers selling EVs, because Tesla sales are down nearly 24% in Colorado, and the Model Y is now getting outsold by, you ready for this? The Nissan Ariya.
There's nothing wrong with heavy metal.
Hey, lighten up.
But with world-class composite material, Teijin Automotive Technologies makes vehicles lighter, safer, and more eco-friendly.
We've got a new poll that we're posting to get your insight and your feedback, and it's all about that little $27,000 electric pickup truck from Slate. What we want to know is what you think will happen with the company and the truck. Will it be a smash success? Will it be a one-hit wonder that goes belly up in a few years? Is it dead on arrival or what? Remember, this poll is only open to our Patreon and YouTube members. So if you haven't signed up to be a member yet, this might be a good time to do so. It only costs a few dollars a month. Okay, back to the news. Over a decade ago, Tesla kicked off the move to direct sales in the U.S., and every other EV startup that came after it has done the same thing. The idea actually appeals to legacy automakers too, and a couple of them, namely Volkswagen and Honda, want to use the direct sales model as they get ready to launch their own EV startups, Scout and Afila. Well, that has got their existing dealers hopping mad. Last month, the California New Car Dealers Association filed a lawsuit against the Volkswagen Group and Scout Motors over Scout's plans for direct sales. And now those dealers are going after Honda and Sony and their EV joint venture. The dealers argue that Afila is really part of Honda, and so by law, franchise law, those cars have to be sold through dealers who sell Hondas. All of this is going to end up in the courts, and who knows, it may even go all the way to the Supreme Court. Okay, now let's move over to the Great White North, where Canadian parts suppliers are sort of heaving a sigh of relief. That's because the Trump administration will not put 25% tariffs on Canadian parts and components that are USMCA compliant. Of course, the administration really had to exempt them. Some components crossed the border between the US and Canada several times before ending up in a car. For example, a casting might be made in Canada, then it gets shipped to the U.S. for heat treating, then back to Canada for machining, then back to the U.S. for partial assembly, then back to Canada for final assembly, then back to the U.S. to be installed in a car. That stack up of tariffs each time across the border would have made it prohibitively expensive. So those parts are exempt, or at least for now they are. But any vehicles made in Canada are still subject to the full 25% tariff, which is why General Motors just announced that it's shifting assembly of 50,000 full-size pickups from Canada to the U.S. The largest North American auto supplier, is Canadian-based Magna, and its first quarter earnings are a good indicator of what's happening in the supplier industry. Magna's revenue dropped 10% to $10 billion. Because of lower auto production in the U.S. and EU. Yet, thanks to our relentless focus on cutting cost, its operating profit was up sixfold, and its net profit of $153 million was up 16x. You know, we're going to see a lot more of this with suppliers. That is to say, the top line stalling out or even falling, and all of that leading to a brutal focus on cutting costs. You know, we've said it before and we will say it again, 2025 could be the year of the autonomous vehicle. Aurora Innovation just announced that it's the first company in the U.S. to operate autonomous heavy-duty trucks on public roads as a commercial business, not as a demonstrator project. The self-driving startup says it began driverless deliveries between Dallas and Houston, Texas this week, and the trucks have now driven 1,200 miles without a driver. Aurora plans to expand its service to El Paso, Texas, and Phoenix, Arizona by the end of the year. And that wraps up this week's coverage of what's going on in the global automotive industry. Thank you for your interest. Thank you for your support. And remember, we'll be back at it again here on Monday.
AutoLine Daily is brought to you by Intrepid Control Systems. Over-the-air engineering boosts your game. Teijin Automotive Technologies, the formula for better mobility. And by... Wards is the industry leader for news, data, and analysis. That's why companies across the globe subscribe to our premium service, maybe even your own. Log in for subscriber access now. Check your company's intranet for details and rely on wardsauto.com to keep you informed.